Federal scientists feel there's too much political influence on their work and at their agencies. That's according to a survey of 7,000 scientists at four federal agencies recently conducted by the Center for Science and Democracy. Paul Souza is the Assistant Director for Science Applications at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He joins me now with an agency perspective on these survey results. Paul, good to have you on.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
All right. So Fish and Wildlife Services, first of all, is there a scientific integrity policy? And to tell us a little bit about what it says and how it's applied.
Sure. Yes, the Fish and Wildlife Service does have a scientific integrity policy. It was first implemented just about 5 years ago. Then it was implemented for several years, and taking some lessons learned, it was revised and updated about a year ago. And what it essentially does is hold the Fish and Wildlife Service to a very high scientific standard. And importantly, what it also does is it require that the Fish and Wildlife Service has a scientific integrity officer whose role is to serve as a point where anybody who has questions about how the Fish and Wildlife Service has used science in decision-making can turn and basically ask for assistance. In many cases, that scientific integrity officer, through informal conversations, can help address any questions that people have. If people have significant concerns, they also have the opportunity to file a formal complaint about how the science was used in a Fish and Wildlife Service decision. And the scientific integrity officer then completes an investigation, talks to the right people, determines whether or not there was a loss of scientific integrity or misconduct, and if so, recommends actions to rectify the situation.
It almost sounds like a specialized whistleblower channel.
I think that's right. It really is just a venue for people with concerns to understand how the science was used and seek appropriate action.
And has that channel been used very much?
Yeah, I think it's rather frequent, quite frankly. And again, most of the issues that come forward are resolved informally, but there have been a number of cases where formal complaints have been filed, and then we have moved them towards resolution.
I want to get to some of those, but first, you mentioned that after the scientific integrity policy was instituted about 5 years ago, it was revised after lessons learned. What were some of the lessons learned that caused the revision, and what changed about the policy?
Well, I think as we were implementing the standards of loss of scientific integrity and misconduct, we became, through experience, just better informed about how to draw those lines. I think also we recognized that through the process, oftentimes it can become contentious. There's anxiety filled with people that raise concerns of this nature, and also the people for which the complaints are filed against have to receive due process so they can understand what the questions are that have been raised about them and have their chance to provide their side of the story. I think it's also clear that we have different legal responsibilities. There is, for example, whistleblower protections that ensure retaliation doesn't occur for people that raise these issues. That is a process that's managed by the Office of the Inspector General. So we wanted to make sure that the specific lane, scientific integrity, any personnel management, and any whistleblower protections are appropriately staying within their lanes, and develop some safeguards to ensure that we focus on the issue at hand here, which is really the science integrity of the question.
And so looking at some of the cases that have come up through the Science Integrity Office at Fish and Wildlife Service, is there any particular issue that the complaints tend to cluster around? And are they, in fact, political in terms of, I don't know, liberal or conservative, that kind of thing?
Well, if I may, I would love to just make a couple of observations about the one particular question that you're raising. And that was in the survey from the Union of Concerned Scientists to our staff. There was a question that suggests our staff believe there's too much political involvement in decision making. And after thinking about this in detail, my sense is what this reflects is a federal workforce in the Fish and Wildlife Service that is facing significant stress right now. And there is a politicized climate surrounding it. In the recent years, we've seen budget sequestration and other budget reductions that have had a significant impact on staff. In the last 3 years, we have seen our agency decrease its workforce by about 10%, 1,000 employees. And if anything, the workload on our staff across the country has increased as we see the economy growing again and more requests for our technical assistance. We also are facing continuing resolutions and the uncertainty in the budget process. There have been considerations about policy writers in the Congress that would delist a species under the Endangered Species Act, for example, and circumvent our normal process. So taken together, I think that this has had an impact on our workforce. And two other points I'll make about this. When I think about political influence, in its most overt sense, I think about a political appointee with no biological background or a clear understanding of our regulations and policies making changes to Fish and Wildlife Service decisions for a clear political purpose. I think it's important to say that this is extraordinarily rare. We have seen it occur in previous administrations, but it truly is the exception to the rule. I think more what we have going on here is a clear recognition about the way that the service makes decisions. And we are entrusted, for example, with determining whether species should be listed under the Endangered Species Act. And there's a public process that we're required to follow. So we publish drafts about these proposed listings. We get passionate comments from environmental organizations. We also get comments from other folks concerned about the impacts of an Endangered Species Act designation. And our job is to look at all of that information, find the best available science, and make the best policy choice that we can for conservation. So fundamentally, we have to manage this process where there are often passions in many different views.
We're speaking with Paul Souza, the Assistant Director for Science Applications at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And so it sounds like what they perceive as interference comes from numerous sources then, partly the atmosphere around budgets, but also the fact that sometimes people do actually disagree with whether something should be, say, listed as endangered, because sometimes economic interests sound like it's just money versus a fish or a bird. But on the other hand, it's also jobs and a lot of other things that affect people.
Yeah, I think you're right. And let me offer an example to illustrate this point. Just last month, the Fish and Wildlife Service made a very important decision regarding a species called the greater sage grouse. This is an iconic species across 11 states in the interior west. It is an extraordinarily important species that's tied to the culture of this important ranching area, this sage steppe habitat. And over the past several years, there has been an unbelievable conservation partnership where the 11 states, the Bureau of Land Management, which manages a lot of the land for the greater sage grouse, where the Department of Agriculture, working with private landowners, have cobbled together a massive conservation effort for the benefit of the greater sage grouse. And the Fish and Wildlife Service, after looking at this amazing and historic partnership in total, believes that enough conservation has been accomplished where the species does not warrant listing under the Endangered Species Act. It really was a wonderful day when we were able to make that announcement, a celebration of this historic partnership. With that said, we have seen some passionate environmental advocates look at the same science and believe that we should have listed the species. On the other side of the issue, we have some interests that are concerned that the conservation that has been put in place will limit some development activity in the future. And they believe that the science suggests we put more conservation on the ground than was necessary. It's a classic example of how different scientists can look at the same facts and come up with different policy recommendations. The Fish and Wildlife Service manages this process. In our judgment, this conservation achievement was such that Endangered Species Act listing is not necessary.
All right. So to bring this around then, the report, the survey that was done by the concerned scientists said that at Fish and Wildlife Service, 73% of the respondents reported political interests at their agencies were given too much weight. Is your assessment of that they overstated it or got it about right or maybe didn't get fine-grained enough with it?
Well, the first point I'll make is I think that if you compare the survey results from this most recent survey to a similar survey conducted by the Union of Concerned Scientists 10 years ago, by almost every measure, the results were more positive. So that tells me that the steps we've taken to implement a scientific integrity policy and foster science excellence in the agency have made some progress. With that said, I believe we can always do better. I think that it's a combination of factors reflecting that 70-plus percent. I think it's the federal workforce under stress from all of the budget and political challenges I mentioned. I think it's also this confusion, if you will, between how science informs policy choices. Again, my point about how different scientists can look at the same facts and come up with different policy recommendations. So I think this is a way we can continue the trajectory of improvement, is having a fuller conversation about how science informs conservation policy.
All right. Paul Souza is the Assistant Director for Science Applications at the Fish and Wildlife Service. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure.